Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari.
Premanande Jayam Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivijakacharya Astotaras Shishimani's Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Kijai Anantakoti Vaishnavrenda Kijai Sri Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kijai Prayam Sikao Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktivrenda Kijai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopadas Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Sri Harinam Sankirtan Kijai, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Kijai, Gaur Premanande, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Sarasati Devi Kauravani Pachayane Nirvisesha Sanyavadi Paschatati Shatayane. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So thank you all for coming out on such a cold, drizzly, icy winter Texas day. Today's class in the Bhagavat Puran, the beautiful Bhagavatam, penned by the hand of the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself in the form of Veda Vyas. Krishna wrote this book. So today's verse is 10th Canto, Chapter 2, Text 26. Satyabratam Satyaparam Trisatyam Satyasya Yonin Nihitam Cha Satye Satyasya Satyam Ritta Satya Netram Satyatmakam Twam Saranam Prapanaha Satyabratam Satyaparam Tri Satyam Satyasya Yohim Satyasya Yonim Nihitam Cha Satye Satyasya satyam rita satya netram Satyam akam tvam saranam prapanaha Satya bratam satya param tri satyam Satyasya yonim nihitam cha satye Satyasa satyam rita satya netram Satyamakam tvam saranam prapanaha Satya bratam satya param tri satyam Satyasa yonim nihitam cha satye Satyasya satyam rita satya netram Satyam akam tvam saranam prapanaha Anyone? Satyavratam. The personality of Godhead, who never deviates from his vow. Who knows what that vow is? Yeah. Yada yada hi dharmasya. That's his vow. We'll get into that. Satyaparam. Who is the absolute truth? As stated in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. Satyam param di mahi. Tri satyam. He is always present as the absolute truth before the creation of this cosmic manifestation, during its maintenance, and even after its annihilation. Satyasya, of all relative truths, which are emanations from the absolute truth, Krishna. Yonim, the cause. Nihitam, entered. Cha, and. Satye, in the factors that create this material world, namely the five elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Satyasya, of all that is accepted as the truth. Satyam, the Lord is the original truth. Ritta Satya Netram. He is the origin of whatever truth is pleasing. Sunetram. Satya Atmakam. Everything pertaining to the Lord is truth. Satchidananda. His body is truth. His knowledge is truth. Translation. The demigods prayed, O Lord, you never deviate from your vow, which is always perfect, because whatever you decide is perfectly correct and cannot be stopped by anyone. Being present in the three phases of cosmic manifestation, creation, maintenance, and annihilation, you are the supreme truth. Indeed, unless one is completely truthful, one cannot achieve your favor, which therefore cannot be achieved by hypocrites. You are the active principle, the real truth, in all the ingredients of creation, and therefore you are known as Antaryami, the inner force. You are equal to everyone, and your instructions apply for everyone, for all time. You are the beginning of all truth. Therefore, offering our obeisances, we surrender unto you. Kindly give us protection. So I say, and you can repeat. The demigods prayed, O Lord, you never deviate from your vow, which is always perfect, because whatever you decide is perfectly correct and cannot be stopped by anyone. Being present in the three phases of cosmic manifestation, creation, maintenance, and annihilation, you are the supreme truth. Indeed, unless one is completely truthful, one cannot achieve your favor, which therefore cannot be achieved by hypocrites. You are the active principle, the real truth, in all the ingredients of creation. And therefore, you are known as Antaryami, the inner force. You are equal to everyone, and your instructions apply for everyone, for all time. You are the beginning of all truth. Therefore, offering our obeisances, we surrender unto you. Kindly give us protection. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The demigods, this is a long purport, and Maturanath, I'm sitting in for Maturanath today, so those of you who showed up expecting Maturanath, I apologize. But, it's time to leave. If you, the Maturanath galley can leave. So I'm sorry to disappoint, but Krishna sometimes is cruel. So you get me today. I'm a pitch hitter. But he had mentioned that it's a long purport and that I should just maybe do half of it or whatever. But we'll see. We'll go through the purport. And if we get through, we get through. And if not, then he said Nityananda Prabhu would finish it up. I think we can, but we'll see. Purport, the demigods or devotees know perfectly well that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the true substance, whether within this material world or in the spiritual world. Srimad Bhagavatam begins, therefore, with the words, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Satyam Param Dimahi. Vasudev, Krishna, is the Param Satyam, the Supreme Truth. The Supreme Truth can be approached or understood by the Supreme Method, as declared by the Supreme Truth, Bhaktya mam abhyanjanti avanchas chasmai tatvataha. It's Bhagavad Gita 18:55. Excuse me. Devotional service, is the only way to understand the absolute truth. For protection, therefore, the demigods surrender to the supreme truth, not to the relative truth. There are persons who worship various demigods, but the supreme truth, Krishna, declares in Bhagavad Gita 7:23, Antavatthu palam te sham tad bhavati apanedesham. Men of small intelligence worship the demigods, and their fruits are limited and temporary. Worship of demigods may be useful for a limited time, but the result is antavat, perishable. This material world is impermanent. The demigods are impermanent, and the benedictions derived from the demigods are also impermanent. Whereas the living entity is eternal, nityo nityanam chetasam chetanam. Every living entity, therefore, must search for eternal happiness, not temporary happiness. The words satyam param dimahi indicate that one should search for the absolute truth, not the relative truth. Absolute truth, I'm going to pause here and speak just a little bit. The absolute truth is that never changes. You see, sometimes when we talk with a lot of people in this age, we find that they feel like, well, the truth, it was the truth then, but today the truth is this. That's, you know, relative truth, relative to whatever. But Krishna is the supreme absolute truth. Krishna was the truth before there was a cosmic manifestation. He's the truth now, and he'll be the truth after annihilation. Krishna remains the absolute truth. So people with material consciousness, they see the material world as, they put more emphasis on the material world than they should be. They see it more real than it really is. It's real, but it's temporary, you see. Because I'm here and I'm an American, I'm on planet Earth, I think I'm an earthling, I'm an American, I'm in a man's body, I'm a man, identify with all these things. So therefore, I try to interpret spiritual knowledge based on my knowledge as an earthling American man. You see? I'm thinking that this is your so-called truth has to make sense to me in my material calculations. You see? We try to calculate the truth into our material, contaminated mind. See, the mind processes data. That's all it does. When we have a tendency to identify with our mind as ourself, just like we think our body. I'm thinking, I am my body. Well, I'm also my mind. So when my mind is saying, oh, I don't know about this, I think this or I think that. The thing of it is, your mind can be tricked very easily. As a matter of fact, the mind is tricked constantly. And the devotee wakes up. When we're in the torchlight of knowledge, we can see how the world is working. But the mind is being tricked constantly. Would you like a demonstration? Who wants to be the guinea pig? Not you? Huh? What about you? Yeah, you look like a guinea pig. Wiggle your nose. All right, repeat after me. Silk, silk, silk. What do cows drink? Ah, you've heard this before. You heard me do it last night. I was telling this last night. Typically, people say milk. Silk, silk, silk. What do cows drink? Milk. Isn't that what you were thinking? Huh? Yeah. But the truth is, cows give milk. They drink water. So, and it works. I've never seen anybody figure it out, unless they're a smart aleck. So, the point is, this is something that's used in marketing. Marketing, they use that to train salespeople and advertisers to convince you that you can trick people's minds. In advertising, the advertisers feel that they can turn on and turn off the public. They actually feel that. I've talked to national advertisers, the people who used to do Pepsi. I don't know if they still do. BBDO from New York City. They would brag of how I worked for a company that was hiring them, and they were bragging how they can they can make the public think whatever they want to, and it's true. It's true. As we're driving down the freeway, we're going downtown, we see this nice billboard with a pretty girl, and she's drinking some kind of beer. And the mind says, wow, you know, if we drank that kind of beer, we might have a pretty girl like that. You see, and then you go and you see another billboard, and it's one about some whiskey. You know, it's a handsome man drinking a glass of whiskey, and you think, oh, wow, if I drank that brand of whiskey, I might be a handsome man like that. See, people would at least see me drinking that same whiskey, and they would see that billboard, and they would relate to me with that handsome guy. You know, the mind does this in a flick, in just an instant, you see. So the mind is being tricked constantly. So the devotee's job is to prevent this. We put up preventative measures to prevent our mind being tricked, and we also watch out to see, oh, is this some trick? You know, so the devotees are very aware like that about their minds being tricked, you see. The mind will take off and go anywhere. Because we identify with the mind as ourselves, we think this is what I want to do when the mind says something, you know. So it's kind of like, until we realize that we are not our mind, that we are the soul who owns the mind and therefore is the director of the mind. Ownership gives you proprietorship, you see. So we're the proprietor of the mind, you see. So until we think like that, though, it's like the mind, it's like going down the road in a horse-drawn cart and you don't even have the reins. You're just going down the road in this cart and the horse goes wherever he wants to. You see, you're trying to get to town, but the horse is following this grass over here, or it goes and nibbles leaves on this tree over there. You see, because you don't realize that there are reins. You see, as soon as you realize, oh, wow, there's reins, you know, And you can drive this vehicle. You can drive the horse. So that's what we do as devotees. We, when we realize, my dear mind, you're not me. You know, no, I don't want a glass of that whiskey. Thank you very much. I don't. I don't want a this and I don't want a that. You know, you go into the store and you see the packaging and so many things, they just leap out. The mind is going crazy. It wants this, it wants that. And you have to say, no, 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 forget it. No, no, can't have it. You say, no, I just came to get this. Leave me alone, my dear mind. You know. See, and but the mind, it's like controlling the mind is like Srila Prabhupada said, it's like if we capture a tiger. If you have a tiger and you put him in a cage, and if you don't feed him, every day he'll get weaker. So if you don't allow the mind to push you around, to boss you around, then every day that mind gets weaker and you get stronger. There's a tremendous power, tremendous potency we get when we can have some control over the mind. You see, when we can control the mind, then we can use it like you would use a horse to get you where you need to go. But until we do, then the mind is just a culprit. It will take us off our target, off the beaten path. So I'm going to continue. The mind is always looking for temporary happiness. That's why people, they have a tendency to approach the demigods, because they're not using the mind. The mind's not working as their friend. The mind is saying, I want this. I want a handsome husband, or I want a beautiful wife, or I want a big car, or I want intelligent children, or whatever. So I'll approach some demigod for this, you see. So the mind, it's all material. There's nothing spiritual to that. So, but these are temporary. Temporary happiness. While offering prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nrisimhadev, Prahlad Maharaj says, Balasya nehad saranam pitro nishinga narasya jagdam udvani majo no. Generally, it is understood that the protectors of a child are his parents, but this is not actually the fact. The real protector is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And some people may think like that. Who is the real protector? The protector of children is the Supreme Lord. So many times we see children are abused. So much abuse is going on by parents to their children that we have to have child protective services. We have to have so many laws and so many. We have special units that handle these types of crimes. So the ultimate protector for a child is not the parents. It's the Supreme Lord. Generally, it is understood. Oh no, excuse me. Tapasya tat prad tibhir ya ihana jesta je ja zetas twad vibo tanu britam tad upekshitatsanam. If neglected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a child, despite all the presence of his parents, will suffer. And a diseased person, despite all medical help, will die. In this material world, there is a struggle for existence. Men have invented many means for protection, but these are useless if the Supreme Personality of Godhead rejects them. Therefore, the demigods powerfully say, Satyamakam Tvam Saranam Prapanaha. Real protection can be obtained from you, O Lord, and therefore we surrender unto you. There's that S word again that nobody seems to like, this surrender. You know, I don't like surrender, do you? Surrender means in material consciousness, surrender means like, well, I lost. You know, General Grant accepted the surrender of General Lee. You know, General Lee was beaten, smashed, so he had to surrender. The Japanese surrendered to America after we threw atomic bombs at them, you see. Germany surrendered when they were smashed. and in rubble. So we think that there's a negative connotation here because we think materially. Spiritual thought, the spiritual world is the absolute truth, and the material world is a perverted reflection of this absolute truth. You see, it's just like that the story in the Bhagavad Gita of the banyan tree. The banyan tree's on the shore of the lake, and there's a reflection. You see, there's a real banyan tree and there's a reflection. The reflection of the banyan tree is upside down and backwards. You see? So the material world is like that. It's upside down and backwards. So a good rule of thumb is whatever material thinking is, the true thought is just the opposite. Or generally, whatever your mind has a knee-jerk reaction that it wants, you should give it just the opposite, you see. So this surrender, this word surrender takes on this negative connotation, but actually, spiritually, this word surrender is sweet. It's wonderful. What do people who love each other do? They surrender to one another, you see. There's a surrender. In the surrender, when one loves somebody very dearly, the surrender manifests in what may I do for you? How may I serve you? Well, how may I serve you? You see, we want to do something. We feel it within our heart. I want to do something. I want to give you a gift. I would like to cook some. I want to do something for you, you know. And if there's nothing there that can be done, then words of praise come out of our mouth immediately, you see, when there's a loving feeling, you see. It's just like I was talking yesterday. Many people say, praise the Lord, you know. So what does that mean? You know, can you hear, you know, Krishna's up in the spiritual world and someone said, oh, guess what? Bhakti Richard, he said, praise the Lord. Oh, yeah. Well, what praises did he say? Well, he didn't say any praise. He just said, praise the Lord. Well, he said he was going to praise me, but he didn't. No, he just said, praise you. Oh, I'm confused. Why would he say, praise me, but he didn't praise me? Anyway, that's Bhakti Richard. No, Krishna, he would never say. But, you see, but here in this verse, as a matter of fact, this whole chapter, we see how the demigods are praising Krishna. Instead of saying, praise the Lord, it's like saying Hari Bol without chanting Hari Krishna. Hari, Krishna, Bol, chant. You know, chant Krishna. Chant the names of the Lord, but not chanting. You know, so, you know, if we say Hari Bol, we should at least say Hari Krishna too, I think. That makes sense. But in this whole verse, there's this, you know, you are the supreme truth. Indeed, unless one is truthful, one cannot achieve your favor, which can never be achieved by hypocrites. You are the active principle, the real truth and all ingredients of creation, and you are therefore known as Antaryami, the inner four. It goes on and on, you see. This praises of the Lord. So this surrender is not a bad word. Surrender when a child surrenders to his mother and father, you see. We surrender our confidence to close friends and loved ones. We surrender in a form of having confidence. We'll say things to people who are close to us, you see, who we know will keep our confidence, who will not betray us. That's a surrender, you see. So surrender to the Lord is a sweet process. It's my dear Lord, I love you so much, I'll do anything you like. Because, not because I'm afraid of you, but because that's my desire. I want to do as much for you as I possibly can. You see, I feel so much love for you that I don't want to ever stop serving you. I want to continue and continue and continue. Please give me some service. That's when we're chanting, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We're saying, my dear Lord, my dear energy of the Lord, please, Radha, give me the service to Lord Krishna. Please engage me in your transcendental loving service. Let's see. Not just a little bit, but always. Don't ever let me slip out of that mode. Let me always be engaged, even no matter what I'm doing, even if I'm working a job. Let me know that I'm doing this for you. I'm raising a family. I'm doing this for you. You see? That way, whatever austerity that we feel that we're performing, if we can see that we are working for Krishna, I'm performing the duties of my activities, my job, raising a family, this is an offering to you, my Lord, then it all becomes a surrender to the Lord, you see. Part of that surrender is you go to work. That's your service. So driving through traffic is an austerity you're doing for Krishna. If you have that mindset that you're doing it for Krishna, you see. And it changes the way we see everything if we're performing our activities for Krishna. See? And it changes the way we react to what may or may not happen our way or the way we planned it. You see? In a surrendered mode, whatever happens to us, we accept as mercy of Krishna. The Lord demands that one surrender unto him. Sarva dharma prikya gya mamikam saranam braja. He further says, Sakrideva prapano yas tavasmati cha uchyate avayam sarada tasmai dadami ithad britam namama. If one surrenders unto me sincerely, saying, my Lord, from this day I am fully surrendered unto you, I will give him protection. That is my vow. That's from the Ramayana, the Yudha Kanda, 1833. The demigods offered their prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he had now appeared in the womb of his devotee, Devaki, to protect all the devotees harassed by Kamsa and his lieutenants. Thus the Lord act as Satyabrata. The protection given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be compared to the protection given by the demigods. It is said that Ravan was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. But when Lord Ramchandra went to kill him, Lord Shiva could not give him protection. You see, that's sometimes we come across those who think of Shiva as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, so it's good we point out, well, Ravan, you know, he was a great demon, and he was fighting Lord Ram. But Raman was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. So how come Shiva didn't save him when Ram killed him? He couldn't, you see. So, that's another reason to surrender to the Supreme Lord, because he's our supreme protector. He's protecting us at every walk. You see, if someone is protecting you from all evil, any demon, regardless who they may be, how powerful they may be, then why can't we surrender to them? You see, so our resistance to surrender to Krishna is futile. It doesn't make good sense when we think about it. We just don't like surrender because in the back of our minds we have that contamination that brought us to this material world. I would like to be surrendered to. I want you to surrender to me. I want you to do what I want done. I want you to cook for me. I want you to do this. And I want you to do that. All for me. I want to be the center of attention. I want to compete with Krishna, you see. I'd like to be the Ishwara. That's why we come to this material world. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva accompanied by great sages like Narad, and followed by many other demigods, had now invisibly appeared in the house of Kamsa. they began to pray for the Supreme Personality of Godhead in select prayers, which are very pleasing to the devotees and which award fulfillment of devotional desires. The first words they spoke acclaimed that the Lord is true to his vow. He is true to his vow. He says, I will appear whenever there is a decline in religiosity and an incline of religion, I will appear to protect my devotee. And now he's keeping his vow. He's there. So the demigods are in Kamsa's house, invisible. You see, they're there offering prayers. You see, they're praising the Lord. They're not just saying praise the Lord. They're there praising. They're offering these prayers. So they began to pray the Supreme Personality of Godhead in select prayers which are very pleasing to the devotees and which award fulfillment of devotional desires. The first words they spoke acclaimed that the Lord was true to his vow. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna descends upon this material world just to protect the pious and destroy the impious. That is his vow. The demigods could understand that the Lord had taken his residence within the womb of Devaki to fulfill his vow. They were very glad that the Lord was appearing to fulfill his mission, and they addressed him as Satyam Param, or the Supreme Absolute Truth. Everyone is searching after the truth. That is the philosophical way of life. The demigods give information that the Supreme Absolute Truth is Krishna. One who becomes fully Krishna conscious can attain the absolute truth. Krishna is the absolute truth. Relative truth is not truth in all the three phases of eternal time. Time is divided into past, present, and future. Krishna is truth always, past, present, and future. In the material world, everything is being controlled by the supreme time in the course of the past, present, and future. But before the creation, Krishna was existing. And when there is creation, everything is resting in Krishna. And when this creation is finished, Krishna will remain. Therefore, he is the absolute truth in all circumstances. If there is any truth within this material world, it emanates from the supreme truth, Krishna. This is sweet. I'm going to read the rest of this, but this is something we have to meditate on. We have to just beat our minds to remember. If there is any truth in this world, it is Krishna. You see, there is no other truth other than Krishna. It's like I want to sell you my product because it'll take away your pain. I want to sell you this toothpaste because it'll make your teeth whiter. Sometimes it's kind of true. It's never totally true. Everything seems to be a little misleading in this material world because there's a tendency for the materially contaminated entities to cheat. It's there. There is that tendency. It's just there, you see. And we are always looking for someone to not cheat us. The only way you can find it is someone who's connected with God. They have to be connected with God. Otherwise, they will cheat you. If they're not devotees of God, then what's to keep them from it? They have no morals. If they're not connected with God, where are their morals? If they had morals, they would seek God. It works that way. So, if we want truth, we have to seek Krishna. You have to go to approach the Supreme Lord for truth. So if there is any truth within this material world, it emanates from the supreme truth, Krishna. If there is any opulence within this material world, the cause of the opulence is Krishna. If there is any reputation within this material world, the cause of the reputation is Krishna. If there is any strength within this material world, the cause of such strength is Krishna. If there is any wisdom and education within this material world, the cause of such wisdom and education is Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is the source of all relative truths. So it's 8:36. I can stop and they can finish this tomorrow, or we can finish it if you like. There's about another page left or two, page and a half of purport. What do you want to do? Finish it? Okay. I am your servant. Devotees, therefore, following in the footsteps of Lord Brahma, pray Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami, worshiping the Adi Purusha, the supreme truth, Govinda. Everything, everywhere is performed in terms of three principles, Gyan, Bala, and Kriya. Knowledge, strength, and activity. In every field, if there is not full knowledge, full strength, and full activity, an endeavor is never successful. Therefore, if one wants success in everything, one must be backed by these three principles. In the Vedas, the Shvetashvara Upanishad 6:8, there is this statement about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Natasya karayam karanam chavidye natat samas chavyaikas chadrishyate parasha shaktir vivid haivasrutyate swabhavika janabala kriyacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead does not need to do anything personally, for he has such potencies that anything he wants done will be done perfectly well through the control of material nature. Swabhaviki janabala kriyacha. Similarly, those who are engaged in the service of the Lord are not meant to struggle for existence. The devotees who are fully engaged in spreading this Krishna consciousness movement, more than 10,000 men and women all over the world, have no steady permanent occupation. Yet, we actually see they are maintained very opulently. This was before the independent householders, when everybody was just grihasthas and brahmacharis, everyone was just serving all the time. Nobody, almost never did you see somebody that had an outside job. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:22, Ananas chintan. Chintyantomam ye jana paryupashate tesam niyabhyatanam yoga kyechesam vamiyaham. For those who worship me with devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I carry to them what they lack, and I preserve what they have. This is one of the most wonderful verses. It's one that I quote more and more, probably more than any. Krishna is saying, for those who worship me with devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, not my impersonal form, my transcendental form, I carry to them what they lack. Whatever you need, Krishna will provide. For one who's engaged in devotional service, Krishna will give you whatever you need on that path of devotion. And he also says that I preserve whatever thing you have. You don't lose anything. Nothing is taken away. See? You don't lose anything, and Krishna will he'll preserve everything you have, and he'll provide anything you lack. Now, you see, we need to remind ourselves of that. You know, I try to remind myself at least once a day. Krishna will provide. He will provide whatever. Of course, he's not going to take anything from you. He has everything. He doesn't need it. There's no need for him to take anything from you. So there's no loss. The devotees have no anxiety over what will happen next, where they will stay, or what they will eat, for everything is maintained and supplied by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has promised, Kanteya pratijanti me na me bhakta pranasyati, O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. Bhagavad Gita 9:31. From all angles of vision, therefore, in all circumstances, if one fully surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no question of one struggling for existence. In this connection, the commentary by Sripad Madhavacharya, who quotes from the Tantra Bhagavata, is very meaningful. sach chaba utmam briyad anudandati vaid vayet vijetanam vijekyanam siddhi sid samudishtam purnan pura purnan narad ridrishitata at trivach chat tada danat satyat yag chochyate vidu. Explaining the words satyas yonim, Srila Vishvanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Krishna is the avatari, the origin of all incarnations. All incarnations are the absolute truth, yet the supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the origin of all incarnations. This is important when we preach to people who are into demigod worship. Krishna is the source of any incarnation of God. He's the supreme personality of Godhead. He's the supreme personality. There may be all these different incarnations, appearances, whatever, but Krishna remains the original supreme personality of Godhead. All incarnations are the absolute truth, yet the supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the origin of all incarnations. Departure eva hi dana santaram avyupetya dipayate. The Brahma Samhita 5:46. There may be many lamps, all equal in power, yet there is a first lamp, a second lamp, a third lamp, and so on. Similarly, there are many incarnations who are compared to lamps, but the first lamp, the original personality of Godhead, is Krishna. Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. The demigods must offer worship in obedience to the supreme personality of Godhead. But one may argue that since the supreme Godhead is within the womb of Devaki, he was also coming in a material body. Why then should he be worshipped? Why should one make distinction between the ordinary living entity and the supreme personality of Godhead? These questions will be answered in the following verses. The way Prabhupada builds that up. Stay tuned. Tune in tomorrow, same channel, same time, and this will be discussed. So, are there any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu?
I heard a nice comment by Srila Prabhupada where he was comparing the material world to having $1 million. Have you heard that comment?
I can't remember that. I have, but I'm...
Where he explains that just like somebody has $1 million, money is made from paper. So if we just take it as paper, then we don't recognize the intrinsic value of it. And the result of that ignorance is that the paper is basically worthless. So if we don't see the intrinsic connection between the material world and Krishna, in that everything is Krishna's energy, and utilize it in Krishna's service, then the material world becomes a source of misery. But as soon as we see everything in relationship to Krishna and to Krishna's pleasure, then it has unlimited value.
Now, otherwise, it has no value. It's such a wonderful point, you know, when we see somebody hand you a $100 bill. If we just saw it as paper, we would think that's useless. Yeah. How much can that much paper cost? That's worth nothing. But we associate it with gold and food. You know, we see that it has value associated with value. Otherwise, it's useless. Such a super point. Anyone else? Question or comment? Criticism? Chastisement? All right. Thank you so much for coming on such a cold day. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same place, and Prabhupada will continue.
Cuando ya era viejito, ya no veía bien, y estaba a punto de bendecir al que él pensaba.
Oh, কি বলে তোমার ধামেতে হইনু শরণাগত কি জানি কি বলে
পালো